The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him? And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Thank you, James. And we step into Luke, and we're in the middle of some controversies. The disciples and Jesus have been at the table with Levi. And after feasting, the Pharisees want to ask questions about fasting. And now they're following Jesus, watching him closely, asking questions about the Sabbath. And so we'll hear Jesus' response, and let's pray that God will speak to us. Our Lord, we ask now that you would take your word and do your work by your Spirit. We trust that more is happening in this moment than any of us fully understand. The God of heaven and earth is sending forth his word to his people. Your Spirit is here. And when word and spirit come together inside of us, new things happen. So would you do that now? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I read this week about an 18-mile long wire that no one sees in Manhattan. How could that be possible, right? It's hard to imagine that anything hanging from utility poles across Manhattan could be considered hidden, but throughout the boroughs, there's an 18-mile line of translucent wire like fishing line that stretches around the skyline, and it is called an eruv, E-R-U-V, in case you haven't heard of it as well. It's there for the Jewish Sabbath. On the Sabbath, which is viewed as a day of rest, observant Jewish people are not allowed to carry anything in public places. Books, groceries, children, only in private home areas. So they decided they would mark with the eruv an area throughout the city that would extend the private area of every Jew in Manhattan. So now the private area is the whole city. So you may freely go and carry your children, and you may check even a website to see if the eruv is intact. It has a status with a check. It'll tell you where the wire is currently broken so that you know you have entered the public area, not the private area. Every Thursday night, one of the rabbis goes and inspects the wire throughout the city, and it costs $100,000 a year to maintain. Now, on one hand, I appreciate their intense desire to take God's word seriously, to seek to keep his commands. That's admirable. But on the other hand, is that why we're really helping them keep the law and its intent? Is that why we're really enabling people to keep God's intent? Or is it a human constructed loophole that actually causes people to miss the purpose of the Sabbath altogether? Recently, a part of the wire came down where the UN was meeting, and because of security concerns, they couldn't repair the wire, and the people in that area were upset and baffled because they might just have to rest. They might just have to keep the Sabbath. In this text, we meet people who like to construct 18-mile translucent wires. They're called the scribes and the Pharisees. They want to keep the law, and that's good, but they miss the blessing of the law because they create all these burdens to go with the law. Their fastidious attention to the letter of the law leads them to miss the spirit of the law. What was intended to bless is now a burden. And so in these scenes in Luke, they will inspect and they will investigate and they will go to great cost to make sure Jesus is doing it their way. And that's the challenge for us as we see this. Jesus' design for his people is to have regular rhythmic rest, Sabbath, but is tragically distorted by man-made regulations. Look in verses 1 and 2 and then 6 and 7. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. Some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" Then 6 through 7, you see them again. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. Now again, we need to understand why the Sabbath was so precious to the Jewish people. To abandon the Sabbath was to abandon the covenant. It was to abandon your covenant God. Consider when they went to Babylon in exile. They lost the temple, they lost the land, they lost the king. They didn't lose the Sabbath. It marked them. To observe Sabbath was to declare in the world that you were resting and following the covenant God, that you were God's people. It was a mark. And so their intensity of the Sabbath is a good thing in many ways, but sadly humans who have a desire to honor God have this slippery tendency to take God's law and merely focus on externals rather than internals. And we see that with them as they distort the Sabbath. The command to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy is found in the Ten Commandments. You shall not work, it says. Notice this, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, only forbids two specific activities on the Sabbath. Just two. Kindling of fires and gathering of sticks. And so the laws that have been added to explicitly define what work is have been added by man, by people trying to figure out how to keep the law and be scrupulous, and in seeking to carefully clarify what exactly was involved in working, the Pharisees developed a lengthy list of regulations to protect people from breaking the commandments. They put the wire out. 39 types of activity. So the first two verses, the disciples are guilty of breaking four of them. When they find them, they say, your disciples are plucking and eating heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. You see, their objection was not to the disciples on the Sabbath gleaning from the outside of the fields. That was allowed in the law from Deuteronomy. That was generosity of community. The issue was they were doing it on the Sabbath. And for the Pharisees, reaping was working. For the Pharisees, that was unlawful, and according to their list, the disciples were reaping, they were threshing, they were winnowing, and they were preparing food. Quadruple violation. And then you see with the withered hand in verse 6 through 7, they come to see, will Jesus heal on the Sabbath? For the Pharisees, the only thing that was permitted regarding first aid on the Sabbath was any life-saving procedure, but you couldn't do anything towards curing disease. Do you see how when we start to add to the law, we start to focus on the externals of the law, we miss the life that God intends? To be against healing and restoration on the Sabbath, we'll talk about in a moment, is very ironic. They miss, because of their distortion, God's good gift. And so do we. So do we. They trade the gift of restoration and rest for mere restraining and regulating. They fail to see that the Sabbath is less about what we don't do and more about what the King calls us to do. Does that register with you when you think of Sabbath? It's less about what we don't do. It's more about what the King calls us to do. Religiously rationalized inactivity is not the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath does not exist to do nothing. It exists to do good. And that's what they missed. We're commanded to cease from work so that we can do good deeds of the kingdom. Sinclair Ferguson says this of the Pharisees: they were like a committee of a golf club which has beautiful fairways on which to play, but to preserve the fairways from being cut up with divots, they require golfers to always play their shots from the rough. But golf courses, like the Sabbath, are meant to be enjoyed, not simply protected. How often are we just protecting our man-made rules, our law-keeping? When we distort, we end up deprived. And when we add to the law, and when we protect our man-made laws, guess what? No rest. No restoration. Stepping away from the Sabbath when we find all ways to write laws and keep laws on our own, you will end up only restless. There's no rest in being your own law writer and your own law enforcer. That's the point of the distortion. Now, secondly, there's the true design of the Sabbath. Look at the plucked grain. Let's just read verses 3 through 5, verse by verse. And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did?" Now this is fight. Now Jesus, these are fighting words. People that prize themselves on knowledge, and he's like, "You missed that one. Have you not read your Bible? You missed it." Not only that, he's saying, you know God's law superficially. You have knowledge, but you don't understand. You have externals, but it hadn't gotten in here. Have you not read? I would ask us just quickly on that. Are we more preoccupied and passionate about our own religious rules than we are about God's revelation? That's what he's saying. Have you not read? We know our rules. We got them down. But do we know this? Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him? He takes them to Israel's great king, David, their hero of sorts. David and his band of followers were hungry on the Lord's day. They entered the house of God. They ate the bread of presence, which was reserved for the priest, and David shared it with his company that followed him. And according to Leviticus, it was only to be eaten by the priest, but the Pharisees have a problem. The scripture does not question David's action, nor does the priest who gives it. There is no crime at this scene, according to the scripture. Why? Because as the Lord's anointed one, David, that is who he is when this happens, he is to be the king. As the Lord's anointed one, he has authority to place human needs above rigid ceremonial law keeping. And the priest recognizes that authority. Now let me tell you what Jesus is really saying to them. If David has that, the one of whom I am his son, but I am his Lord, and I am the true anointed one, how much more can my followers violate man-made laws? That's his point. If David, the king, the anointed one, had the authority to meet human need over rigid law-keeping, how much more me, the son of David? Right here, he's connecting with David. And he's telling them they're missing him. And then he says this in verse 5. He said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That was his favorite self-designation. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. They knew that. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. When was the Sabbath sanctioned? At creation. You're saying you're God? You're Lord of the Sabbath? I guess you make the rules. What you say about the Sabbath is decisive. That's what he wants them to see. He wants them to see more than law keeping. He wants them to see who he is. I'm the Son of Man. That means I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Listen, from the start of the biblical story, our rebellion caused us to lose rest. His design was to give us rest and enjoyment in his presence. And when we fell, we left the garden, that place of rest. And yet he promised rest. He said, I'm going to send the seed of the woman. He's going to crush the head of the serpent. And yet for all those times since the fall, we have longed for rest. We have lived our lives so many times outside of the rule and the reign of God, which was what was represented in Eden, and we don't live under that. And so what happens? Our lives are restless and miserable and ruined in sin, left to ourselves. And Jesus comes, and he restores our rest, not just our Sabbath. He doesn't just restore that to us. He restores something deeper than Sabbath rest, soul rest. Why? Because the work is finished, so we rest. Cease from all your work on the Lord's day. The Sabbath is a signpost to salvation. No work, rest. Jesus on the cross said what? It is finished. No work, rest. The rest you lost in the garden is now back through the seed of the woman. Jesus, he comes in his faithful work and says, I designed Sabbath now for you to savor rhythmically and regularly. One day a week, yes, all the days, but that one day a week to have that signpost before you that, yes, we cease work and we rest. And that's the gospel. The Sabbath is proclaiming to us the gospel week after week after week. And the Sabbath points to restoration. Why does the Lord of the Sabbath, what did he design the Sabbath for? He designed it to restore, to replenish, to repair, to refresh, to restore the diminished, replenish the drained. Is that you? Diminished and drained? He designed it to refresh the hungry and repair the broken, to do good works. And so when people are being fed with grain and hands are being healed and they say that's against Sabbath, that's actually the point of Sabbath, restoration, the meeting of human need. That you and I need to cease and stop. Yes, rest physically from physical exertion, sure. But Sunday's more than taking a nap. It's resting from your spiritual exertion and knowing it is finished. It is finished. Now it is, just so I am clear, Sabbath is a wonderful time to take a nap. But Sabbath, his point is, and you'll hear it in a moment, is the Sabbath for doing good or evil? See, we pit, I think a lot of times on the Sabbath, it's like, let's do nothing. And that's not really the option Jesus is giving. Is it doing good or doing evil? That's how we need to think of the Sabbath. Don't your man-made laws, don't your systems of self-justification leave you exhausted if you're honest? And if you don't want to be honest, ask the people around you because it exhausts them. Do we have rest? Rest in Christ's work. The true design of the Sabbath is to taste that. But then you see the withered hand. Verses 8 through 10. It says, but he knew their thoughts. Wouldn't that be troubling to be in Jesus' presence like that? Jesus just kind of looks at you. He's like, really? Like they're watching him. It says, the Pharisees watched Jesus to see whether he'd heal on the Sabbath. That term for watching means they were spying him. It was like watching out of the corner of one's eye. They're sinister, they're suspect, and he knows it. And he says in verse 8, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose and stood there, which is really the right thing to do with Jesus. He says, come, stand, go, do it. He does it. But the Pharisees are watching. Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? That's an easy question. Like, you know the answer to that, right? Particularly if you're religious. Like, you're not going to say, I know the answer to that question, Jesus. Do evil and destroy life. He's got them. You know what they do? They say nothing. Mark says they were silent. And that Jesus was disturbed with anger. Because he knows all they want to do is trap him. And they're playing a game. And he's come to give rest and restoration. And so he says, after looking around at them all, I wonder how long the silence was. I mean, do you imagine, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? Jesus just, you won't even say what you know is true because it's going to mess with your life. And then he says, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. What is Jesus doing? The Sabbath is about restoration. It is a day to restore good, and I think that's something the church has lost. One of the designs of the Sabbath was not only rest from work, it was to do good, merciful work. It was the day to say, we are free from our work so that we can do deeds of mercy. Where are we with that? Like you're looking and you're like, this is the whole point of the Sabbath, that we are all headed to Sabbath rest, where we will rest forever and everything will be restored and no more tears and no more sickness. And Jesus stands in the Sabbath and gives a signpost of that with the withered hand. And they stew. Here's what happens in verse 11. They were filled with fury. Can you imagine? You just saw a man's hand restored. Like, that's really awesome. Good for him. And they are filled with fury. How could you possibly be angry over that? That's life, right? That's good. That's not evil. That's not destruction. That's restoration. But it says, they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Other gospels give more clarity. Matthew 6 says this, but the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. You saw him heal a man's hand, and your response is, kill him. It's pretty revelatory, right? Of what happens to the heart that clings to its laws. You know what a heart says that clings to its laws? I want to get rid of Jesus. That's what they're doing. I mean, look, Mark 3 even says this. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now, what? The irony of this is they're plotting murder on the Sabbath and they can't say that's a violation. That's really ironic. Like, I know you shouldn't do that on the Sabbath. They're plotting murder with the Herodians, who were pagans supporting an awful King Herod. What would bring the religious and the irreligious together? What could possibly unite them? Get rid of Jesus. You know, I hope that when Jesus challenges our self-righteousness and our rule-keeping, you know that left to ourselves without the Holy Spirit, do you know that's our response? When Jesus challenges our self-righteousness and he comes up against our rule-making and rule-keeping without the Holy Spirit, you know that I'm saying this, go away. Don't mess with my life. Don't mess with my system. I got something working here, Jesus. Works for me. Get out of here. Go away. We would not ever say, I want to kill Jesus. We're too polite for that, but we would say, I'm not dealing with you. I'm going to plot to orient my life where I don't have to really deal with the real Jesus. I deal with parts of Jesus that go with my system in my life, but getting rid of Jesus equals getting rid of rest. And that's the point. Jesus is saying to these who, like us, want to phase him out, want to get rid of him when he challenges our law enforcement and law keeping, Jesus is saying to them, you get rid of me, you get rid of rest. And then Jesus in Matthew would say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. We come now on this Lord's Day to taste the gospel, to rest at the table. No works could get us here. We're here to rest and be refreshed at the table because all the work has been done. The body and the blood of Jesus has been sacrificed. And we now have rest, true rest. Help us taste it, believe it, be refreshed by it. And we pray this in your name. Amen.